Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
Are you tired of chasing tenants to comply with having renter's insurance? Insurance Management Group can solve this problem with a master tenant's insurance policy. Keep tenants in compliance with your lease agreement and help protect all parties involved. A master tenant's insurance policy can also add an additional revenue stream to your business. Contact Derek Scott at 918-728-8992 or visit imgadvisors.com. To learn more, listen to the Property Management Mastermind Show podcast, episode number 36.
Choose Seacoast Commerce Bank as your property management bank of choice. Seacoast Commerce Bank specializes in trust accounts and business banking for property managers. One of their best features is a cash analysis program where they can assist in paying your property management related invoices. Contact Allison at 619-988-6708 to learn more. And be sure to listen to the Property Management Mastermind Podcast, episode number 26, about Seacoast Commerce Bank.
Hey everybody, and thanks for joining us. So in today's episode, I have Paul Kankowski and Matt Tandy, both gentlemen out of property management companies in California. We're going to be talking today about stopping the scammers, what we're seeing in the self-assisted showings and the unaccompanied showing systems that are causing scammers to target these particular vacant homes. And I'll tell you this up front, this comes out of the episode, but I want to reiterate it right now. Pricing is your biggest deterrent. So take note of this. If you're looking to get price adjustments from your owners because homes have been sitting too long, this could be one of your main arguments, that the longer a home sits vacant on the market, the more chances you have of break-ins and scams. So take a listen to this episode. You're going to hear some amazing stories from these two, and I hope you enjoy it. And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson, and today's guests, I have Mr. Paul Kankowski and Matt Tandy, both out of California, and we're going to be going through a couple things about self-showings, different lockbox techniques, and what's been going on with these scams, these fraudulent actions that have been going on in the market. So these two gents have volunteered to come on today to give us kind of the lessons learned and potentially help you from being a victim of this one of these actions. And so there's a lot to it. So Paul, please give us a few minutes of introduction, then Matt, you're next.
Hey, everybody. We are both me and Matt are out of the Inland Empire in here at Temecula Riverside. And we both have been experiencing this scam in different ways. So I wanted to have us both on here so that we could tell you how with two different lockbox systems, different ways these scammers are working. California is a starting place for a lot of things. So these scams are going to be coming your direction because these are not people that are scamming that live where we live. They are out there in other places, and it's a pretty big organization.
So, Paul, tell us a bit about, you have how many homes under management, roughly, just kind of size your organization?
My organization is about 180 homes in the Temecula area, all single family.
Good. And Matt, your turn.
So my background is my company is Formatic Property Management. We have about 300 doors. We have three offices, Riverside, Mountain Community called Big Bear, and then a new office we just opened up in Colorado Springs. We manage throughout Southern California, Orange County, the desert areas. I've been doing self-showings, Brad, since before there were self-showing lockboxes. And with my first company that I helped start, we had thousands of homes under management. And it just was not feasible to do in-person showings. So we were always trying to test new ways to to stretch what we could do to help our clients.
So let's set some ground rules real quick. We are going to be mentioning vendors here, and I want to keep this in a very positive manner. I will tell you straight up front that we use Tenant Turner. And Paul, I want you to tell us who you are using now.
I use Tenant Turner. I've also used the other two vendors, Showmojo and Rently, in the past.
Matt?
I use Rently. I had explored both of the other ones, although I did not use them. Rently has worked well for us.
Great. That's exactly what we wanted to hear. Just kind of a neutral play that we've all have experience with the three that we know of. And this doesn't exclude anything outside of even mechanical lockbox showings or super lockbox showings or anything like that. So it's just a matter of we're using these particular these self-assisted, unaccompanied showing services to help show these homes on a very, and I think it's a great manner, but we are experiencing some difficulties. So Paul, I'm going to give it to you to kind of describe what the situation is going on, and then we're going to go back and forth to kind of see, you know, ask some questions, and Matt, you can join in on any time. So Paul, go ahead.
Well, the situation is, First off, I'm a huge fan of self-showing. Even after having this scam go on, I think it's a great thing. I've been using self-showing for 2 years, and 2 years I've had two incidents. I think the man hours that saved me and the fact that my house is rent quicker have been completely beneficial, and there's other things that happen. But what happened with me is they used a pretty big scam to use different people to take photos of the lockbox. And it was about a four person they had to use. So they started off by having the first person go to one of my properties and say, oh, the lockbox code is 4732. So the person pushes that in and it doesn't work. So they call them and they say, oh, we probably have the wrong lockbox on there. Can you take a picture of the lockbox serial code? So the person would take a picture of the serial lockbox code. And then they said, oh, we're sorry. We must have screwed up. We don't know that lockbox code. So now they know the serial code of that lockbox on that property. Then they sent another person who was working in Vegas. They sent them their phone number, and Nicole was the person who received the code box. Nicole's actually a guy named Aaron from Las Vegas who's not the scammer. So the real Nicole, and I'm reading this from Tenant Turner, was duped by the scammer and provided her ID. Aaron was duped by the scammer and provided his cell phone number. The scammer also duped someone to go to get the serial number, which I explained before. So basically what they did is this guy, and I'm looking at, I have all the wording of what they talked about. And it said, you're going to Pasadena House. And he said, that's the wrong house. I'm not going to Pasadena. And they said, oh, it's a software glitch. When you get to the house you're going to in Vegas, get there. So then he put the code in for the house in Vegas, one on that lockbox. And they said, oh yeah, that glitch is happening. Would you put this code in? Then they gave him the code for Pasadena. When he put that code in, then he had the code. Then it gave him the code, and he had the code for my house in Pasadena. Well, that code's only good for the next, 6 hours. So then the next person who called, they sent to Pasadena, and they said, here's the code 0397. That person went there, put the code in. They said, oh, why is there a sign here? They said, oh, we fired that property manager. They were bad, and I'm the owner, and I'm doing it today. They said, take the sign out of the yard, put it in the garage. Then on the counter, there was this thing that's saying, if you're not seeing this through House Match Property Management, you know, please call this number. Oh yeah, we fired them. They were bad. You can just take that piece of paper and throw it away. And then they had this person wire them $3,000. Well, the next person went to see it about 6 hours later, and the key was gone. So then I went, left my daughter's track meet on Saturday, went there, changed the locks. When the person came back on Sunday, they couldn't get in. So it was because we rent things quickly, we knew about it right away, and we were able to stop it. But it was a very, very elaborate scam. Now what Tenant Turner has done, because this was the first time this scam had happened with Tenant Turner, the way they did it, they now write, hi, Nicole. So if Aaron sees it says, hi, Nicole, and he's Aaron, he's going to like, why is the name wrong? And then they also say, if someone tells you to take a picture of this lockbox, it is a scammer. So Tenant Turner has added both of those features since this. Tenant Turner worked with me on a Saturday. I emailed, of course, it said, we won't be back till Monday. When they read what the email was, the owner of Tenant Turner called me that weekend and was involved with me and the police the entire weekend. So they were very, very responsive. Stuff can happen. And, you know, you just have to be working with a company that's going to respond and have your back. And I felt they did. I lost 4 hours of a Saturday. It sucked. But I've gained so many hours on other Saturdays by self-showing.
That's amazing. That's one of those situations where I'm almost picking myself up off the floor unbelievable that they've gone through this 3-4 level of scamming to try and get you to turn over a lockbox so they could, you know, potentially move somebody in. And of course, people are dumb enough to wire stuff like that without a legitimate source. Now, one clarifying question. It was a wire, not any sort of Western Union?
It was a wire, a bank wire. And when the lady, because I've been dealing with the lady, called, the wire person said that they have 10 frauds a day from Craigslist. He said that it's a very common. And, you know, the big thing I always say is we'll never advertise on Craigslist. And Craigslist is the root of all this. I told Craigslist that this property was illegally advertised on Wednesday. And Craigslist hit it from me. And then I went on my son's computer on Saturday and it was still showing. Craigslist didn't take the ad down until Monday. Craigslist keeps them up there. All they do is when you say that it's illegal, they just hide it from your blog so you can't see it. So then another one of my properties they grabbed on Saturday because the scammer had me in its mind. And I told Craigslist, I emailed Craigslist legal, I did all that. And when I went to other people's computers, it was still on there. So I took all my lockboxes off all my properties that weekend. We now, thanks to Matthew, have signs that we put in that says, if you're here from Craigslist, it is a scam. If they tell you they fired us, it is a scam. We have this whole thing. We do not advertise on Craigslist. It basically saying, if you're stupid enough to be going here from Craigslist, then you deserve what you get and you're going to lose your money. But that's pretty much what our now flyers say.
So let's get some red meat going here. And I'll turn it over to Matt after a little bit. Describe to me, either one of you, what that document says. And it's basically something I'm envisioning this, that it's a 8.5 by 11 flyer. You're probably printing it up in color. And it's big, bold letters that says, if you are here from Craigslist, this is a scam. And you place it on the kitchen counter inside of the home. Tell me about this.
I place it on the right after you open the door. It's right there on the wall as you open the door. It's on the kitchen counter. It's on the back door window. We have it in three places now. We used to just do it on the kitchen counter. But now I want them to be so dumbfounded that if they're stupid enough to do Craigslist, I don't want another person losing $3,000. Luckily, this person who lost $3,000, she said she was very wealthy. And she was, you know, dealing with divorce and had to get out of the house right away. And she took complete responsibility for the fact that she was scammed. The bank, because we caught it so fast, I don't believe the scammer got the money, but the bank said it would take 2 weeks to figure that out. I'm hoping she gets her money back. It really made my blood boil when I thought someone was being ripped off by. And Matthew has a situation where he did it as an old man with these scammers. And Matthew White, you tell him a little bit about that. And that was a completely different situation.
Yeah, so we've been dealing with these scammers. A lot of them actually started in an area of Southern California called Hemet, where the criminal... basically the drug rings, the crime rings, where they realized that they were losing a golden opportunity that's a lot lower risk than running drugs. They could have another source of income. And so they started developing these methods to scam. And that's why we're going to see this expand, because criminal rings, especially with the gangs, and to be clear, these are more like mafia style, like large gangs out of Mexico, narco groups. This isn't like your regular little gang you might find in the neighborhood. So basically what happened in this case, we'd had multiple scammer issues. We've been working with the Hemet Police Department and their special task force that they put together to help resolve a lot of this. And we had one that we found, again, on Craigslist. It's always on Craigslist, or right now, just a heads up for those listening, Facebook Marketplace is the next Craigslist. Now, Facebook, of course, just got dinged with their fair housing thing, and they went pretty extreme, so it's making it harder for the scammers. But we're still seeing some of our properties show up there. So with Craigslist, we have our properties show up there all the time. And in one case, I thought, you know, I want to take this further. Now, when this scam started a couple years ago with the very first group, we did talk to a couple of them. And what's interesting is 3 years later, I talked to the same exact guy, same person. So, you know, they have this network, but it's all being run by the same people. And, you know, he's making bank because he's been doing it for so long. So in this case, I did a couple of video recordings where I called him up. I put on an old man voice, and it's hilariously bad. It sounds something like, well, hello there, little guy, or something like that. And I just acted throughout a series of calls. I tried to make myself more pitiable just to see how far these people would take it. Do they have a conscience level somewhere? And the answer is no. By the end of it, I'm an old guy, recently lost my job, have a small pension, social security disability, and I was living with my wife, and I were living with our kids, or one of our son or daughter or something like that, who died in a car wreck, you know, 2 weeks before, and now we have to find a place to live and stuff like that. And this person would just go off and say, well, you know, I really want a good family. You sound like you're going to be great. You just send that money right here. This person had no conscience at all. And so, you know, we did this series of videos that we recorded that takes us through that. And the big thing here on how they scammed, very similar to what Paul experienced, is that they would go in and they'd say, all right, we're going to send you a link so you can self-view the home. And by the way, you may see something from a property manager, but again, like Paul said, we fired them. So then what they did is they sent us a link, but what I got was actually a link to Craigslist, but not for the property that I was inquiring about. It's for a completely different property. And the scammer said, all right, you're going to receive a link. It's going to be blue. You need to click on that link. And it's going to have a little button that says confirm. Don't worry about what it says. It's very confusing. Just click on that link and you'll get the code. Now, what it actually was he had used my fake email that I created for this purpose and had posted another property from another property manager to Craigslist using an account he created with my new fake email. And he wanted me to confirm my account. So how does this person not get IP traced? Because he's using other people's accounts over and over. He's creating Craigslist accounts for them. And they're activating the new scam. So if someone was to trace it, who's it going to show got posted that scam? Me, not the scammer. And so it's very sophisticated on how they do this. And then, of course, once we didn't click that one, and they went silent after that. But that's how they do it. They do this whole thing, just like with the photos with Paul. They just are always finding ways to not be able to tie it to them. And an interesting thing on that, Brad, is that I don't remember the exact dollar amount off the top of my head right now. There's a limit on wire fraud that it has to be over before the federal government gets involved. It's like $5,000 or $10,000. Well, all these rental scams are less than that. So because they keep these increments small, they can keep doing this and sending money to, I think our guy was in the Caribbean somewhere. They can keep these amounts small. They can do 10 a day, make $30,000, and be at absolutely no risk of pursuit.
Matthew, can you talk about the lock, how they, because this was without lock boxes, how they were changing your locks in the middle of the night, that too. So people who say, oh, it's just self-showing. It's not self-showing. Would you explain how they're changing, how they're going in at midnight, changing the locks, and then renting your properties?
Absolutely. And let me be clear. So I mentioned that with my first manager's company that I helped start, that we did contractor boxes, you know, the little four code with the tumble things. And we would do this thing where we would say, hey, we're going to be there. But if I'm running late, I'll give you the code. Just call me, stuff like that. Let them know that someone's going to be there, even if we were. Not the most safest thing, but there were no self-showing systems out at that point. And we never really had problems. All of our problems, actually, that we ever experienced in rental properties were before we did self-showings, or I'd say the majority of them. Now, in this case, what happened is we had some properties where these criminal rings, they've taken it to the next level. And I've heard a few reports in the last month of a few other people experiencing this in other parts of the country. Well, these criminal rings, they have their own locksmiths. So first we see our property up there on Craigslist, and we had a squatter move in. Fun story, that squatter later sued me for being for catching a scam, told the small claims court that it's our fault that she got scammed, because how could we let someone move in without her being the actual tenant? the judge laughed it off, but it still took time in court. So the way this worked is after we got that scammer out, or I'm sorry, before we got the scammer out, the first part was that it showed on Craigslist. We knew someone accessed it. We went out there. We changed the locks. Not a problem. Worth the expense for self-showings. And then a week later, we see the property back up on Craigslist. And we had put out just a contractor box while we were doing some other things on there that the owner had approved. And so with that, we go back out there. Our maintenance guy goes out there, general contractor. And he says, Matt, there's no lockbox out there. Well, that's odd. No one should have that code. We weren't showing it. We weren't doing anything. We see it on Craigslist. Sure enough, someone had cut our lock off and had obviously smashed it open and had taken the key. So that's not self-showing. We weren't even advertising at that point. The scammers were. And then so we changed the locks again. Not a big deal. $75. We're good. And we don't have any lockbox out. 2 days later is when this squatter moves in. And I call her a squatter, but you know, I guess we'll say someone who got scammed. She just caused problems later. So what had happened is apparently the day after we replaced the locks, they sent their locksmith out, unlocked the door, rekeyed all the locks in the house, and handed this person a brand new shiny key. So, well, they hid it under a rock. So this isn't something that, and this is really important that I hope everyone understands. This isn't limited to, are you using Tenanturner or ShowMojo or Rently or any sort of self-showing system? This is going to hit agents everywhere. It's not hard to get to rekey a house. It's very easy and it's very cheap. They just go at night. And it happens. Now, we haven't had any problems since because we've taken a lot of measures. And like a lot of things in life, it's not like we like a lot of rules. But when someone does something stupid, you have to set new rules in place to keep it from happening again.
So before we get into the preventative methods, right, let's get that down next. I want to hear more of the stories. I mean, these are two really detailed stories that kind of give some context to what's going on. Paul, do you have any other similar stories? Or Matt, do you have any other similar stories to those two that we just talked about? As far as, you know, the level of detail you've seen, even a simple kick in the back door and then they advertise it on Craigslist. I mean, let's just hear what you got.
When I was with ShowMojo, I had something 2 years ago very similar to this. And, you know, that's why I'm saying it's going to happen with any of them. So I was with ShowMojo 2 years ago. We had a similar thing, not as detailed. This person just, you know, took the keys out, stole the keys, and then showed the property the rest of the day. But again, we found out 4 hours later when the next person went, the keys were gone and we changed the locks right away. So my thing is, when you have a house that's on the market for 30, 45, 60 days because you've overpriced it and you get like one or two people that see it a week, you're screwed. Because someone's going to see it on Thursday. If no one goes back to it until Tuesday, you have 5 days where unless you're going every day to that property is open for fraud. But if you have a house that's priced right, I don't know about your market, Brad, but in my market, there's going to be three or four people seeing it every day, if not more. And the second one of those people, because with these softwares, it tells you so-and-so's there. Who clicked? So-and-so's there. And it shows up. And I know every time someone walks in that door. And the second that person calls me and says, hey, the key's missing, someone's racing their butt down there and getting it fixed. And so the key, with I think Matt and Mia both said, is when an owner wants to overprice their home and it's going to sit there vacant, they're going to cause you a lot of problems. So price the home right, get it rented in quickly. When we have these guarantees and stuff, you know, we're going to want to get rented quickly anyways. But it's a good marketing tool. And I talked to the owners more about the fact that, hey, they're going to go. And my locksmith went through the front door lock on that house where we didn't have the key because they stole it. He picked the deadbolt lock in less than a minute. I mean, it's a professional locksmith. It's not tough to get into a house. That made me really think, holy crap, I always thought a deadbolt was hard to get into. Now I know it's not if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, these groups definitely know what they're doing. And I could train a regular person off the street to do this. Someone who owed me drug money. You know, I could say, hey, instead of me taking your finger off or, you know, shooting up your house, why don't you go, I'll give you a job. All you have to do is unlock these houses for me, rekey them. I could teach them in about 20 minutes and be good to go and have throwaway people who won't have anything. So yeah, you know, I've had other things like this. I have had, like Paul, you mentioned, I've had people go in and take a key and then be gone and on the survey say, hey, everything was fine, locked up. And the next person says the key's gone. But actually both of them were scammers. They were both part of it. And they're both trying to place the blame on the other person because they knew that you couldn't effectively prove anything. But we just gave both to the police and the police took care of those situations. And then before lockboxes or before the cell showings, mostly it was kicking the door. And when people want in, it's not hard. Open up a window, jimmy a window, we'd have that go in. I remember, I remember in 2009 when things were just really bad for a lot of people, that we used to have squatters all the time. We had people going to steal copper all the time and everywhere in the country. Didn't matter what you were using, people get desperate or they want something enough, they're going to get in. And I find that the self-showing systems, all of them, from what I've heard and seen, that they're very responsive to property managers. They really are interested because their reputation business model, of course, it depends on safety and reliability. I find that I've had less problems since we started using the self-showing systems versus before. Because bad guys, when they know that someone could stop by, a random person could stop by to look at the home, they seem far less likely to want to go squat or go cause problems.
Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. Filter Easy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
Let's talk a little bit about the self-showing system as a whole. I'm a huge fan of it. I talk about it a lot, and I teach people how to do this, but I really believe in it as far as what companies should be doing, because let's flip this around a little bit. Let's say we're prospective applicants for a home. And we want to go see a home. Do we want to wait for an agent to come there 4 hours away, 3 hours away? No, I want to see this home right now because why? VRBO gets me in right away. Airbnb gets me in right away. And I'm an 800 credit person score, credit score person. So I don't think like scammers. I just want immediate service. So the self-showing concept has been going on for 15 years. The technology has changed to get us there. But some people are going to say, well, that's why I never do self-showings. I only do accompanied showings. It doesn't stop you from having the back door kicked in, right, Matt?
Absolutely.
Yeah, some of the other things that we want to talk about with self-showings is some of the benefits. And then we want to go through some of the preventative methods of how we can kind of maybe stop or slow down the scammers. I don't think you're ever going to stop them because they're going to find a way, no matter what platform you're using, the name, the dumb lockboxes, whatever, they're going to find a way to scam you. But some of the benefits of self-showing are ease of use, security for your staff, you can rent the homes quicker, and Paul, pick it up from there.
So 2 weeks ago, we rented a home in 7 days. We had 2 weeks before the people moved in. 4 days later, someone had removed all the screens off the back window and tried to get into every window. That's not a self-showing thing. That's not an anything thing. The fact is that house was going to be rented from the day we took over to the day we're done in 20 days about. That's a lot less days for it to be vacant and to be able to be broken into. And so self-showing rents quicker. Self-showing, Generation X wants an Uber. Who the heck wants to take a cab? They want to be able to see a property when they want to see it. You have to stay above. Me and Matt, we're in the same market. We are competitors, friends and competitors. And we see our competition. And they don't believe in self-showing. And they believe in showing a house once or twice a week, maybe at 3 to 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, and maybe 8 to 9 a.m. on a Friday. Well, someone might be working during those hours and they can never see it. We're taking those good clients and putting them in our rentals. and making our owners happy and creating a better, you know, it's just a better thing. I'm for self-showings. And yes, it was a real headache. It was a pain in the butt. But I can tell you right now, if I wasn't doing self-showings, then on a Saturday, I'd be showing properties. And that would be way more of a pain in the butt than having once a year having to deal with one of these issues.
Let's do some quantification. And Matt, I'm going to let you comment next. So the quantification on my side is roughly 20 to 25% of our homes get rented, leased by unaccompanied self-assisted showing methods. So for fun, we did, let's say, 400 lease agreements last year, which is fairly close, you know, give or take a few. And quarter of them were leased by unaccompanied self-assisted showings. This means 100 properties were leased through this method. We saved 100 co-broker commissions. So in our market, that's only $300 that we're paying out because we're cheap. And that's actually pretty middle of the road here in this market is $300. So let's take some monkey math there, boys. $300, right? Times 100 equals, Paul?
$30,000.
$30,000 is what we saved. Exactly. So Matt, to you next, what would that equate in your market if you're doing any sort of co-brokering? What kind of math would that equate to?
So we actually don't have in Southern California a lot of co-brokering going on, but our lease fees are much lower than other parts of the nation, which is kind of odd. But the way it works is that in terms of rental times and how that affects our clients, I did quantify this. In fact, I shared this with Paul a few weeks ago, is that if we assume a pretty basic lease fee for us, which for NARPM things, I guess I can't say. If we assume that, and we look at, like Paul, when we do self-showings, we rent in about a week. That's our average time to rent a vacant, rent-ready home. Not when it gets occupied. That's usually a week or two later. Versus the industry standard here on the last survey about a year or two ago was 5.5 weeks. So if you quantify what that means to our clients, by not using self-showings, these agents who think they're doing their clients a service, right? They're doing that extra level of in-person. If they're just to do 50 leases a year, they're losing, paying out they rent in 3 to 5 weeks, between $23,000 and $62,000 a year in lost rents for their clients. And if they're doing 100 leases a year, they could be losing up to $125,000 in lost rents for owners. And because, of course, we get paid, we're a percentage of rent collected company, we lose $10,000 in management fees a year on that, on just 100 leases a year. And, you know, there's no scenario you could paint for me, Brad, that would make me feel good about losing all my clients combined $125,000 a year. There's no scenario where I wouldn't say, well, $10,000 in lost management fees. I don't want to pay for rekeying a lock if something seems a little suspicious. And that's just ridiculous. Everybody loses if you're not doing self-showings, in my experience. It's the wave of the future. And Brad, like you, I'm a busy guy. I have 3 kids, just had another one back in December, and I'm married, and I don't have time to wait around. And I remember before, and I think this is important for those still doing self-showings, in-person showings, sorry, as an agent. I remember before we started implementing any sort of self-showing system that we would set up appointments, and people would call us and confirm, yes, I'm on my way. Literally say I'm 10 minutes away and they would never show up. So we're wasting our evenings, we're wasting our Saturdays for less than a 50% show rate.
It's money gone for sure, Matt. Let's go down the road of safety. Comment on that.
Well, safety's huge. I mean, I've had a pretty bad experience from a showing. I'm not going to get into that, but let's just say that it's affected my life dramatically on a stalker type situation from a showing that I did of someone who now is infatuated with me. So, you know, there's crazy people out there. And, you know, someone steals a refrigerator, great. They shouldn't have a refrigerator in the damn house anyways. Rent it without a fridge. I mean, the amount of money I lose, I paid for the lockbox change. It was $100 and paid for it twice. If something minor happened, and let's say I paid in order $500 to deal with something minor. That is so much better than now. I would never do showings anyways because I have people that do that. But, you know, one of my agents getting, you know, hit in the back of the head or stolen. I mean, the thing, the most valuable asset in a showing is not the house. It's my people. I mean, the house can be replaced. The house is insured. My people are not. So, and Matt knows this, and Matt works in some other areas that I don't work in that, you know, you want to come packing when you're showing in those areas because they're not the best areas.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. I mean, we've all heard stories of agents getting assaulted. You know, it's just a very scary thing. And I have a conscience where I don't want to send any of my staff members out to do these showings. I mean, sure, some of them do on their own free will, but a lot of times we can set these up very easily and you don't have to. And in certain markets, it just doesn't make any sense to not do it. I mean, imagine if you're in a big metro. I mean, look at Houston, for example. Houston is so darn big. It's like 2 hours from left to right. You know, east to west, it takes that long, 2.5 hours in good traffic to get across. How are you going to set an appointment to do a showing an hour away, get out there? And just like Matt said, you can call them 10 minutes prior. They'll say, yeah, I'm on my way, and they'll stand you up. So that aside, the showing, the safety of it is I have a real issue with, and I really like the self-assisted showing concept just to make sure that we're not putting any of our agents in any sort of required sort of issue. Now, we do co-brokering, but that's realtors. That's on their own thing, showing their own referrals of people they know. We don't want to take phone calls of just somebody off the street and then be expected to run out there where you have a safety concern. You know, so that's a big system. So, Matt, you were about to comment on something.
I was just agreeing. You know, the safety is a major issue with all the dollar amounts in there in the files I keep of why and how we do things. Is it does talk about ultimately, if I didn't make a penny more, my clients didn't make a penny more off of self showings, I would still do it because it's the right thing to do as a human being. It just comes down to, you know, I have my senior property coordinator. She's 5 feet tall and wire thin. And she's feisty and she keeps a pretty scary little zapper taser thing. But, you know, I don't ever want her to have to use that. And I'm really big into safety. We have all of our property managers and they have body cameras that we bought them to record again, just to help deter. We find deterrence are a major factor in a lot of things. We have car cameras that we buy and mount in their cars. And we do self-showings. To me, everything I do, I spend an enormous amount of money, which, by the way, as a ratio, is so infinitesimally small to our income. I want to know that my people are safe, that I've done everything I can. Because if she's the senior property coordinator, she's a single mom of 3 kids. Because I didn't want to do self-showings, if she got hurt, I literally would not know what to do with myself after that. I to go home to my 3 kids and think to myself, I could have just changed up a few things, gone outside my comfort zone a little and kept her safe, and I didn't. There's no way I could justify that in my life.
100% agree with you, Matt. Well said. So let's switch it up, guys. Let's talk about the prevention methods. All right, so let's kind of get, you know, kind of best practices. Tell me about watermarking photos. What do you guys think of that technique and where does that potentially go to?
Well, watermarking, first off, with Tenant Turner, everything that goes out on the web with that folio is watermarked. The problem where they were stealing my photos was they were stealing from my website because that folio doesn't watermark what goes to your website. So Tenant Turner said that they're going to start doing that now. And the last thing we talked to, that is on their number one agenda because of the thing that happened to me. So again, very, very responsive. These companies want to, I mean, they, you know, they see a scam, they're going to try to go ahead of it. We are watermarking our photos right in the middle of the photo, like right near the garage door. We put like house match on there. Matthew is doing some ingenious stuff. And so I'm working with him to try to do some of these things where he's actually making it a moneymaker and doing some stuff that makes some money and makes the property more secure. So why don't you go into that?
Yeah, you bet. So watermarking is helpful. And Paul and Brad, I look at this as incremental improvements. Brad, you said that nothing's ever going to stop the scammers completely. And I 100% agree. It's a cold war. Everyone's going to always try to build the next bigger bomb to stop the other person. But we can help eliminate most of it. So watermarking helps, although they have just straight up taken my watermark photos and put them on Craigslist. They've taken my name. They've taken my company name. They've taken all of that and said, posted it as if it's for Matic, and the only thing they change is a phone number. So they can get pretty bold because they know, why not? Might as well try it, right? You know, it's like a business. Might as well try something new. No one's going to catch them anyways. So all these things do help limit at least the new people entering these kinds of criminal endeavors. A few things that we're doing on the prevention, a big one or a couple big ones are, yes, the signs are big. They are in color and with reds and greens, and it talks about Craigslist. It talks about, hey, call us if you're uncertain, give us a call. We tape it to the front door. Tape it to the inside of the back doors, sliding doors. We tape it into the kitchen. We tape it into the living room, and sometimes we'll tape it into the laundry area, just so that they have to, even if it's a potential tenant who's being scammed, they have to really see it over and over and over to catch them all. And if they miss one, great. The next person who goes in that the scammer sends in may be able to see one that was missed. And so we find that takes care of a lot of it. But the other part is ours says that our premises are monitored when an owner pays for it. So what we have is we took the Arlo camera system, which is for those who haven't used it, Arlo is a camera system that uses rechargeable batteries and connects to a hub station. So now a lot of our properties, almost all of them, they don't have internet when vacant, but we do require electricity before we will market a home. And so we then went out and I did a bunch of research and I found a 4G modem. So that works with an AT&T SIM card. It has a outlet on the back that you can attach a Cat 5 internet cable. So we then activate that. We use an AT&T pay-as-you-go. So if we don't pay it for the month, then we don't have it. We can increase the data if we need it. Usually pay for 2 to 5 gigabytes depending on what's happening there. And so we attach all this together. And what this allows us to do is we can go into the home, we plug in that modem into the electrical outlet, and we usually put it in a cabinet and run it down or somewhere where it's not in obvious sight. And then that turns on the internet. And then we plug in the cable into the Arlo base station. And then we use, because we didn't want to mark up people's houses, we took a medium 3M command strips and we use those. We'll clean a little bit on the eaves outside and we'll put a camera up on the outside front door, outside back door, and usually in the living room. And it's really easy. The Arlo comes with these magnetic domes that the cameras just kind of pop on and pop off of. So we attach those domes with the command strips. And we can take them off really easy. We charge our clients $50 a week right now for that, for 3 cameras. And then there's extra fees for other cameras. We had a 4-plex we were remodeling that had a squatter go in before the owner hired us. Owner had been paying $200 a week to have someone, basically a security person, actually go there every day at night. So we charged them, they were charged $100 a day because a squatter had burned down one of the units. And so we, again, by the way, no self-showing there. It just happened. Instead we charged the owner $200 a week. So we were the ones charging $200 a week. And they had 6 cameras out there and it kept it safe. And our signs say it's monitored. People can look over and see that camera. And it makes a big difference. And it alerts us. The nice thing is it alerts us whenever there's motion and it's recording it instantly. So we have video and we can talk to them. It's a two-way talk. So we would have someone, in fact, we actually scared one of our general contractors, subcontractors once because we didn't know who it was and they looked suspicious and we told them to get away from our house and we were calling the police and they bolted. And so they work. They work really well. Any house we've had that on, even in the most troublesome areas, never had a problem since.
I think you've touched on something here that we're going to see in the future. As these become a little bit more affordable and a little bit more easily installed, you're going to see more and more property managers and or vacant home owners looking to do something like this. You've all seen the Nest video cameras and some, there's like 100 different things right now, but they all are just a hair a little bit more expensive than what a lot of people want to adopt just yet. And so I think if those start to get, you know, cut in half, I mean, it's just like televisions. We all wanted a 80-inch big screen 10 years ago, but good Lord, they would have, you know, they were $5,000-$6,000 or whatever they were. And now you can get one of those at Costco for $1,500. You know what I mean? That's 10 years later. So I think what we're going to see as these electronics come down and a lot more wider adoption of those types of scenarios. Great stuff on that, Matt. Question for you both. Would a credit card sign up at the beginning of an unaccompanied vacant home showing have any sort of effect?
Me, no. I mean, I left Rently, and I liked Rently, and I thought they were a great company, but they do have a credit card sign up. And you have to sign up with a credit card, and it was 99 cents. And I mean, you know, I just had too many people flip out on me. What do you mean I have to use my credit card and pay 99 cents? You won't show me. Will you show me the house for free? And because I'm in California and I'm afraid of not showing the house for free, you know, I would be like, okay, on Friday at 2:00, my property manager can go out there and show the property. Because I was afraid of them giving me some California fair housing bullshit of, you know, he's making people pay to see that property. So, and again, I loved Rently, but that was, and they do have that credit card. And I think if there's value to it, but, you know, I get the driver's license. I can schedule showings with Tenant Turner or with ShowMojo. We can schedule those things. You know, there's things we can do. And like Matt said, he's had scams with Rently, even with getting that credit card. Or do you not get the credit card, Matt?
We absolutely get the credit card. And I'm sure it eliminates some of the entry-level scammers. But the people who know what they're doing, it's nonsense to them. They can get past that any way they want. I mean, identity fraud isn't exactly the newest thing in the industry, right? Identity fraud hits everybody everywhere.
So one of the main concerns a lot of people have on self-assisted showings is the tenant locking up the home? Is the tenant turning off the lights? I mean, just the basics, not the hardcore scamming stuff. So what I would recommend to folks is if when people are showing your home and they get done with the showing, somehow get a follow-up call or follow-up text message that says, thank you for showing. Did you lock up the home on a phone call, let's say? Did you lock up the home? Did you turn off the lights? Yes and yes. Okay, now, are you interested in applying? Let me talk you through that process. So you're talking through, it's almost like a sales follow-up call more than a security call. And so that's something I would recommend on in a broad scale. Any other things that we could talk about on the prevention methods to talk through this?
First off, they're going to leave the lights on. I mean, it's a guarantee that lights are going to be left on. And you know the owners that you kind of don't want to deal with because they're the ones that call you. Hey, I drove by the house and there's three lights on. I'm like, your house is vacant. It's good your lights are on. It makes us think that someone's there. And half the time, it's one of my vendors in there. So, I mean, lights are going to be left on, but if we can get a house rented in 14 days and get someone in there and they're instead of 45 days, average rent in California is 2,000 plus. So let's just say my rent's 2,500. You're going to have a $20 more electric bill, but you're going to save $2,500. I think it's worth having the damn lights on.
Matt, it's your turn, but I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to tell you this. I think just hearing that, and I'll reiterate it, Matt, you can tell me if I'm lying or not. I think the number one fraud prevention thing is pricing it correctly. What do you think?
100%. And Brad and Paul, you basically were touching on this too. I'm going to have a lot less scam problems. And this is in fact, the information I give to our clients who have questions, a lot less if my home if a home is marketed for a week versus on the market for 5 weeks. If I'm a scammer, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the list of the properties that have been sitting there for weeks. By then, the manager's probably not checking on it as often. It's a ripe opportunity to take advantage of. So get it rented quickly. It's just statistics. It's the shorter period of time it's on there is the less amount of time something bad could happen. Great. And then I would say that the other thing I'll say with Rently and the credit card thing, again, cuts out some of the low end things. If we have an area that we know is going to struggle, such as Hemet with these scammers, where a lot of these crime rings really originated on this side of things, Rently has a self-showing mode. A safety mode. And all it is instead of it being directly where they get a link after they qualify, after they put in their credit card, after they've done the identity verification stuff that Rently does using that, then it doesn't give them a code. It sends us an email that says, hey, you have someone who wants to view the home, please verify. And so we have to manually go in, or leasing guys have to go in, look at the person, call that person up. So now we know the phone number goes to the right person, and verify the last four of the credit card and verify everything else. And so when we use that, never a problem. It is a little more work. It's not feasible for all properties. But if we suspect there's a problem, we activate it. And it's nice that, and I know Tenant Turner, I believe, has a safety, a safe mode showing system too. I'm going to assume Show Mojo does. So there are these systems where if you know there's a problem, you can do it in, adds a little bit of work, still a lot less work than doing in-person showings.
Well said.
Matt, Tenant Turner does have that, and it's actually very good, and we had to go to it. But it was adding about 4 hours of work a week, and so we really wanted to go to the scheduled showing back. So it was, you know, it's good, and we'll do it when we have to. But, you know, if we're constantly monitoring three times a week Craigslist, and when we see one of our properties on Craigslist, then you're right. We flip that property for the rest of the time onto that mode because we know Craigslist isn't going to take it down anyways.
Well said. Gentlemen, any closing comments?
I love self-showing. I'm a big fan of it. It causes very minor headaches in the regards to showings in person. And if I could have all my houses go to self-showing, you know, that's something we talk about. When ours are tenant occupied right now, we're showing tenant occupied and getting them in before the end. We are very much thinking about only doing self-showing for the safety of our agents, for the time that's not that big of a difference. Like we might someone get someone in 14 days after if we're showing it while the tenant's in there. We might get 21 days with self-showing. So to me, that's 7 days. Is that worth the safety of my agents? I don't think so. So, you know, me and Matt, and I know you, Brad, I'm a big fan of self-showing.
Yeah, to add to that, we only show vacant homes here. Okay, we went to this 2 years ago. And so we went to all the owners. There's a two-page justification for this to include everything that we just talked about, to include safety, expenses, all of this. And we only show vacant homes. Now, we will not fight with an owner. Okay, if an owner says, you're going to show the last 30 days of that home, you know, because that's what a lot of people do in this market, we're not going to, you know, stand up and lose business over this. So we have 99% of the owners say that's no problem. I get it because you have a justification for wanting to do it this way. But our company policy is to only show vacant homes.
Exactly, for us too, Brad, is that our policy is self-showings. It's in our management agreement. We explain what it is and we keep it simple, but we have, of course, documents explaining everything else for those who do have questions. Most of the people who are opposed to it at first, for those thinking, my owners will never accept this, this would never work in my area. Let me tell you, I operate in Riverside County, which is kind of middle of the road kind of county. I operate in Orange County, Southern LA. I operate in North San Diego. I operate out in the desert, Palm Springs. I operate off on a mountaintop in a resort community that's very exclusive and not very technologically friendly, Colorado Springs. I've done self-showings across the country. And you know, every time someone says it's not going to work in my area, it's nonsense. It really is. Maybe I'm not going to get all of the potential tenants, but I'm able to get to, I think of it like fishing. I may not have 20 poles out sitting there in the lake, but I know I have the best bait and I'm doing the right kind of fishing for the kind of tenants and clients that I want. Works fantastic. Never had a problem getting it. And yet on a moral level, I know that sometimes we see other managers say, well, I would never do self-showings because that's just manager getting rid of their responsibility and it's not fair to the client and someone's going to ruin their home. Again, we've had less problems with self-showings when it comes to properties because they're vacant less time. We get better tenants. We get homes rented faster. We make our clients literally hundreds of thousands of dollars or more a year for the volume of leases we do. We make more management fees. And most importantly, everybody is significantly safer. I can't speak enough good about it. I've done both sides of it. And the people that we usually see that are naysaying it, I've never seen one of those naysayers ever actually try it. It's always people who won't try it at all. But I know plenty of people who thought that they wouldn't like it, thought it wouldn't work. They give it a go and they never go back.
Well said. Matt, Paul, thanks for coming on, gents. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Property Meld is made for maintenance work automation. Property Meld will work to schedule, remind, verify completion, and follow up with your residents automatically while providing the best-in-class communication system for your ease of use, your vendors, and your tenants. Begin reducing maintenance coordination time and increasing tenant satisfaction today. Learn more at PropertyMeld.com.
This show is sponsored by the best home inspection software on the market for property managers. We endorse and use Z-Inspector as our software of choice for our team to document home inspections. We particularly like their 360 degrees camera system that produces amazing views of the interior room. Your clients will love Z-Inspector documented inspections you provide them. Visit www.zinspector.com to learn more.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.